I'm not going to really have you turn to a verse tonight. I'm just going to deal with a subject that has, I have selected scriptures all throughout the whole teaching here. But I want to talk to you tonight about the will of God. Now, I know that seems like such a basic teaching, and I'm sorry I don't have a prettier title for you. And I'm not going to go on and on tonight about the will of God. I know there's so much that we could talk about when it comes to the will of God. But do we understand it's important? Do we understand the will of God is important? Now, I want to deal tonight with the importance of being led by the Spirit and the importance of this, because these are some principles. Once again, this is more than book knowledge. There's some things I feel like the Holy Ghost has allowed me to learn hands-on. I feel that in my heart. And there's things and decisions I'm still learning and growing. But man's greatest honor and privilege is to do the will of God. If I understand that, man's greatest privilege and honor is to do the will of God. And this is what the Lord Jesus taught His disciples. He once said that only those who did the Father's will would enter into the kingdom of heaven. So how important is the will of God? If you want to enter into that kingdom of heaven, you must do the will of God. He also said that His true brothers and sisters were those who did the will of God. So think about that. He puts a great emphasis on doing the will of God in every person's life. Now, when I talk about the will of God tonight, the emphasis was passed on by the apostles to their generation as well. Not only did Jesus see it as something that was important, but He wanted every generation to see the importance of the will of God. Now, once again, I feel like I've been blessed in a sense to be raised around that old school mentality that you had to do the will of God. Amen. Guess what? When you got married in God's will. Amen. Well, if you switch churches, you switch churches in God's will. Everything you did was by the will of God. You didn't just select or random or get to feel your way throughout life hoping that it comes together. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that is very, very dangerous. Peter declared that God sets man free from sin that he can do His will. So you've been set free from sin simply to do this, to do the will of God. Paul asserted that believers are created anew in Christ Jesus so that they can walk in the path that God has already mapped out for them, that it is important to do the will of God. God has a will. He has a desire. As one man says it, He has a dream for you. He has a vision for you. He has a vision for this church. And we must live out the will of God in the age that we live. Now, I can give you so many scriptures about this. But we would understand this, that this emphasis is unfortunately rare in our day and generation. And hence, I believe the reason there's such a lack of emphasis on the will of God. And let me put it this way, the perfect will of God, we put so much of a lack of emphasis on it in the church world that there is a shallowness, there is a powerlessness, in the average believer today. Men are urged to come to Jesus merely to receive forgiveness. In the days of the Bible, people were told that forgiveness of sins was to be only the prelude to the life dedicated and to the fulfillment of doing the will of God. Everything must be focused and centered around His will. Now, what that means for you as a believer is this. You've got some praying to do. You've got some fasting to do. You've got some reading to do. That's just not a default thing in your life. I wish it was. Amen. You know, I wish to think that every day I wake up, I wouldn't have to do anything. I wouldn't have to make any decisions. I wouldn't have to take a left or a right. You understand what I'm saying? I wish I could just walk and walk. And every day, God just takes me and steers me in every way He wants me to go. No, you've got to make decisions. We have a free will. You are a free moral agent. You are somebody that must make decisions. So my brothers and sisters, with this said today, if God has a perfect will for your life, is it possible for a believer to miss God's perfect will for his life? Is it? We believe that it is very, very possible. We know in the Bible, we can look at men such as Saul, who was chosen by God to be the king over Israel. But eventually, as a result of his impatience and disobedience, God had to reject him. And though true, he remained on the throne for some years, but he had missed God's will for his life. Solomon is another example. There's many people we could talk about. We know that Solomon missed the will of God, marrying heathen women here. We know twice in the New Testament, we are exhorted to take a warning from the example of the Israelites who perished in the wilderness. God's perfect will for them was to go into the land of Canaan, but all except two of them missed God's best through unbelief and disobedience. My brothers and sisters, many even today are not living in the best that God has for them because they are simply this, not in the will of God. Amen. Now, I wish there was a place you could get that instantly the God's will was just finished. And you will. It's called glory. Amen. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mislead you there. But understand this. One day you will be in heaven. And guess what? You don't have to sit there and say left or right, straight, backwards, what you want, Lord. You don't have to do all that. Because there your faith will be fulfilled inside of there. But all except two. We look at the Bible. We know the two men that entered into Canaan. We can read about that example in the New Testament where it tells us to look back at the Israelites. But many believers today have missed God's perfect plan for their lives through disobedience and compromise. Often you hear people marrying the wrong person, going to the wrong church, taking the wrong job. I'm telling you, the will of God is thoroughly important in your life. Now, I have a little book there in the office that is very good. His name is G. Christian Weiss, I believe it is. W-E-I-S-S. And I could probably be pronouncing that wrong there. But he wrote a little book years ago. I found it at a Goodwill or something and didn't know it was a Christian classic. But it's an excellent read about finding the will of God. It's titled The Perfect Will of God. He tells, in that little book there, he tells of a teacher in a Bible school who told his students one day, and this is what he said to them in this Bible school. He said, I have lived most of my life on God's second best. That's what the teacher said. He goes on to say, God had called him to be a missionary in his younger days, but he had turned aside from that calling. And as a result of marriage, he then began a selfish business life, working in a bank with the primary purpose of making money. God continued to speak to him for a number of years, but he refused to yield. One day, his little child had a fall from a chair and died. This drove him to his knees, and after a whole night spent in tears before God, he put his life into God's hands completely. It was too late for him to go to Africa. That door was closed. He knew that that would have been God's best for him, but he had missed it, and that he could do all he could do now was ask God to put the rest of his life to use. He ended up being a teacher in a Bible school, but he said he lived the rest of his life with knowing this one thing. This was not God's perfect will. Even though I am saved, even though I'm going to heaven, I cannot change my past. I'm going to do the most of it right now. I wonder how many men and women are living in the secondary, if you don't mind me saying, will of God. It wasn't God's initial will. It's something you chose to be selfish at a certain age. You chose to do your own thing. You chose to go your own way. Maybe not into sin, but do your own thing. Pursue your own goals. Pursue your own business. Pursue your own college degree. Pursue your own calling, whatever it was, and neglected the call of God on your life. And you're living today, secondary to God, what God wanted you to be. Think about that. Brother, let me share this with you. I think it went in my notes, but it's interesting. Brother L.K. Powers, a lot of you don't know him. I never met him. He died before I was born. But he pastored a Landmark Tabernacle in Virginia. And Brother Keith Powers is there, the pastor now. He's a younger man. I mean, he's younger than his older brother. Let me put it that way. Any younger man, he's in his 60s. But his older brother is named Larry Powers. And Brother Larry tells this story that when he was younger and a teenager, he knew he was called to preach. He said he would have dreams. He said he would cry in services. He said he would go past hospitals. And he said he would feel the unction of the Holy Ghost to go in there and pray with somebody. He said he felt the working of God in his life. He ended up backsliding, getting away from the Lord. And to this day, he tells you, I've heard it said this way. And they don't know for a fact, but Brother Keith even said it before. He said, maybe today the reason there's a calling on my life, my brother didn't answer the call, but God came to me. He said, that make me better to him. We don't know the full story. Only God knows in his divine dealings. But I will tell you this, brothers and sisters, you need to do the will of God. You need to pray for it. And there are repercussions when you get out of the will of God. You hear people say sometimes, well, you know, almost make everything an option. This optional Christianity is the death of the church. It is. Well, I'll marry who I want. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll work where I want. You know, God opens doors. You got to pray, and you know, I know there's jobs everywhere. So you understand? You know, that don't mean you don't mean to be picky. It means this, but work. We know that, but you can have direction where you can work too. I'll go to church where I want. Is it God? We got to make sure we're in the will of God. Now listen to me today. As I talk about these things, the man in that book went on to say, I have since met numerous people who have borne similar testimony. Usually these testimonies have been bathed or at least marked with bitter tears for a while. Thank God. Hey, they begin to talk about what God wanted them to do, but they didn't do it. I wonder how many men and how many women are not in the perfect will of God today. Think about that. Now, I'm not here today trying to condemn you. I'm trying to help you. To let you know that for your children and your children's children, we need to put an emphasis on that. That look, even though you can still be saved, and even though God can still use you, is that exactly what God wanted you to do? It is so important to talk about that. But when we talk about the will of God, when we begin to put emphasis on that, instantly we have the question, how do you know what God's will is? I wish I could tell you. You know, that's one of the biggest things people come to me about or have over the years. I need to know the will of God about this. Pray. All I can do is give you practical advice and take you to the Word. But that's where the Spirit of God comes in. Even when I counsel somebody that's dating, and they come in and they say something like this, well, it's the will of God. I say, well, have a good day. But what do you say to that? They done went to a court higher than me. They say it's the will of God. You can't counsel somebody that's convinced it's the will of God, even if it's not the will of God. They come to, I've had it before. Well, I want your advice on this. I know it's the will of God. I said, why are you talking to me then? Amen. Look, I can pray with you. If you're asking for some practical advice, I can try to do that. But no, they'll tell you the best thing to do is this. If you don't know it's the will of God, won't you come to me or come to another preacher and say, look, I'm trying to pray about this. I'm trying to get direction about this. Is there anything we can do? And we can begin to talk to God about it. We can begin to fast about it. That is the way to do it. We've got to know the will of God in our lives. To avoid the will of God is a very painful and shameful detour in life that you're not always guaranteed to get back on the right road. But you know that you can if God's mercy and grace helps you. But we need to make sure we're in the will of God. You've got to make sure of it, brothers and sisters, that you're in the will of God and that our younger generations knows the importance of it. I'll tell you this right now. I know it's the will of God for me to preach. And I know if God forbid, if I was to go away from the church and begin to say, look, I don't want to preach anymore. I think I'll just get a job and never preach again. You know what? That would haunt my dreams. Because I know it's not what God wants. That doesn't mean I'll never have to work a job. But I will this. My mandate, my command, and my calling. Number one is this. I've got to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it comes to the will of God here today, I want to talk to you about this, what I would call, and many other writers call, the inner witness when it comes to finding the will of God. Now there's several ways. There's several different aspects of God's will. You know, you can go to somebody and get advice. You can pray about it, of course. You know, there's final considerations to make. You know, I'll tell you this. It's not the will of God if it's outside the Word of God. How many knows that? I had a guy, since I've been here, he was never a member. Don't worry. And he didn't come here long. But he said, I'm trying to pray if it's the will of God for me to leave my wife. I said, I said, let me slow you down here, son. I said, there's about... You know, there's especially the situation. You have to understand the situation. I said, there's plenty of verses in that Bible. Hey, I don't even have to pray about this. I know the will of God. Amen. The reason I know the will of God, because it's been revealed in Scripture. That's one thing. You know, how many knows that Bible reveals His will? But then there's another part of the will of God I call the unique will of God, where look, you can't find it in a verse. Nobody else can tell you exactly what to do. So you've got to hear from heaven. And in this, when we come to the subject about this inner witness, and this means that guides us, we must bear in mind that biblical principles are more important than experiences of even godly men or women. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Biblical principles are more important than the experiences of just some random man or another woman, even if they're saved. You don't build your God, you don't build God's will for your life just based on somebody else's experience. Do you know right now I could go around and ask, how'd you meet your wife? How'd you meet your husband? I think I would get some different answers. Amen. I remember that's the biggest thing as a teenager. Lord, I've often said this to you, but Lord, don't come till I get married. And you pray, Lord, I know you're coming, Lord Jesus, you know. It's the end times, it's perilous times, but can I please get married? And then you get married and say, Lord, I'd love to have children. Hey, man, then you start getting more bills. You say, oh, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a 30-year loan on a house. I said, to be sure the Lord's coming. Come on. He just sighed and sighed. Some of your houses are paid off. You thought the Lord would come back before it was paid off. Amen. But I do know this. Seeking the will of God. There's not just somebody can't just come to me and say, this is my experience, so this is going to be your experience. That's dangerous. We do not build anything on just subjective experiences. Just isolated experiences. The experiences in my life, when it comes to the unique will of God, is going to be different than the experiences in your life. We must get that in our minds. God is not limited to work in any pattern we lay down. He is sovereign and may at times choose to use miraculous instead of normal means of guidance. He guided Israel by a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire in the wilderness. But that method ceased when they entered into Canaan. And there's been times in my life I'd much rather just see a pillar somewhere and know it was God's will than have to pray and fast and try to navigate through it in my mind and heart. Wouldn't that be nice if you just say, Lord, where do I go now? Well, no duh. You know, there's a fiery tornado over there. I think I'll just go that way, Lord. Amen. Look at that jump. All right, Jesus. Amen. Wouldn't that be a lot easier than what we have to go through sometimes today? Even the Acts of the Apostles have a few cases of extraordinary guidance. We know an angel spoke to Philip and told him to leave Samaria and go to the desert road. We know Ananias there was told by the Lord in a vision to go and meet Saul. We know Peter saw in a vision which God revealed that he was to take the gospel to the heathen. Paul saw a vision directing him to go to Macedonia. He also refers to a time when the Lord gave in directions and a vision in Jerusalem. But these are exceptions rather than the rule. Man, I know people have been laying out fleeces for 30 years about something. Come on. I mean, they're waiting for some lightning to come down from heaven. Now, you know, God can't answer that way if He wants to. But I often say this. You ain't got to cast lots. And what was that thing called the priest used? The Urim and the Thummim, whatever it's called, them big crazy words. I've heard it pronounced 40 ways. Probably not 40, maybe 5. Anyhow, I might exaggerate a little bit. But anyhow, wouldn't it be nice if you could just come up here and at the altar and I would have them two stones up here, and you know, and I'm like, all right, what do you need? No and yes. Man, we'd pack this church out. Man, I save you a lot of heartache, wouldn't it? We understand that would be amazing, but we cannot just lay out the fleece or look to the high priest. We cannot entirely dismiss the possibility of God directing in similar ways. But in this message, in the sermon, we are concerned only with the normal means of guidance. Like I said already, the Israelites had that cloud. The high priest had those two stones. But my brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would you rather have two rocks or the Holy Ghost? I think I'll take the Holy Ghost, wouldn't you? Would you rather have that pillar of fire and that cloud? Or would you rather have the pillar and the cloud inside of you? I'll take the Holy Ghost any day. Amen. Because I know He can still guide and lead us. We must rely on the Holy Ghost. In contrast to all those special signs, knowing God's will appears to be, it would seem to us almost like it's more difficult for us in this day and age. When seeking for God's will, we need to search what the Holy Ghost is saying to us in our spirits. It's not always audible, but it's not always some voice and lightning and thunder and tornadoes and shaking of Mount Sinai. He speaks to us in our spirits. It is essential, therefore, that we seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, do not be thoughtless or foolish, but understanding and grasping what the will of the Lord is. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. You can look in the words of Luke 4 and 1 that Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit does lead the church. Amen. If you show me a church that's not led by the Spirit, I'll show you a machine. Anybody ever notice a difference in a machine and a living organism? You know, aren't you glad a mechanic doesn't do surgery on you? Amen. Aren't you glad he does 5/8? Can you get that hacksaw? Get the jumper cables. You know, that's rougher equipment. Do you know how clean a mechanic shop is usually? I mean, people say, I've seen a clean one, and they are kind of clean. Pretty dirty, ain't they? Because a machine is one thing. A machine cannot be infected. A machine cannot receive a sickness. No. But guess what? A living organism. We have body parts. We have functions. But it's something that is more real. And brothers and sisters, when it comes to the Holy Ghost, you are not a machine. The church is not a machine. You are a living organism. The church is a living organism. We must operate that way. It is sensitive. It can be hurt. It can be wounded. It can be killed. But guess what? It also can live. And that's what the will of God is. We as a church must do the will of God and be led by the Holy Ghost. The sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit was found so many times among the early Christians. In the book of Acts, and we read about the apostles, we find once again Philip acting on the inner urging of the Spirit and joining that chariot of the Ethiopian statesman there. Peter obeying the inner voice of the Spirit when he goes to Cornelius' house, and so many more times. You must learn the voice of the Spirit. And guess what? I'm learning it. Amen. You say, you don't know His voice? Sometimes I think I do. And other times I come to a crossroads and I find myself praying and I realize this is going to take more than 15 minutes. Come on. You start saying, Lord, I still don't know. Push back the plate. Come on. And you start saying, Lord, I'm not sure. So you begin to pray. I tell you this, if you wait in the right spirit and the right disposition, He will not withhold direction from you. Sometimes the reason you got to pray through and the reason you got to seek His face so much and you got to pull back that curtain of carnality is because you've allowed yourself not inherently to become sinful, but you can become carnal if you're not careful. And you operate so much within the realms of the flesh. You live so much in the rational aspect that you don't know the Spirit's voice. And in that time, you can find yourself weak and powerless spiritually. That's why He always calls us to a renewal, to a refilling, to this place where He pours in us and gives us direction. You need to know the voice of the Spirit every day of your life. You ever had the Holy Ghost give you a certain urge to do something? Amen. Let me ask you again. You know the Holy Ghost gave you an urge. Were you ever a little hesitant? There's been a time or two in my life. Because when He urged me to do it, I looked out there and I said, man, they're going to think I'm crazy. What would they think about me, Lord? I can't do that. This was something that I want to share. I can only testify to you of what God's done in my life. I know there's testimonies in this room. Brother Glenn has great testimonies he shared with you. But I'm telling you this, when I was working for the state, and all of a sudden, it seemed like Africa was just stamped on my forehead. I couldn't get rid of it. I'm telling you one thing, that was a long year for me. I remember going down the road, and I remember I felt like I was going to go to Africa. Before the preacher ever asked me. But I'm thinking myself, one part I'm praying, I said, I'm crazy. I said, Lord, that ain't you. And then the day when it begins to come together, I mean, you get fearful. I remember somebody came to me and said, look, would you like to go to Africa? I'll pay for the ticket to get you over there. He said, but you need to quit your job if you do it. I need you to go over there several months and try to do this. I'm like, yeah, sure. And I wish I went and told Holly, she began to cry. Naturally so, and I think I began to cry. It's like, what did I say? Do you know it was still almost another year before it happened? What I'm saying is, let me back up a little bit. But a year before the man asked me to go to Africa, a year before that, God told me I was going. Think about that. I felt it in prayer. I remember praying. Hey, it was just so real to me. And I thought for sure that meant the next day. And you got praying. You said, this ain't even a reality. But you begin to pray. And that whole time, the Spirit begins to direct you and guide you. The reason He does that in your life, and the reason I believe He allowed me to go and step out from my job, it was a teaching. I'm kind of one step at a time. I'm learning His voice one day at a time. I'm learning His voice. And sometimes if it takes a year, if it takes 2 years, or if it takes 5 years, you can be led of the Spirit and know His voice and do His will. I often shared with you before I came to this church or knew anything about you. I was preaching a revival in Texas and Hampton was on my mind. That's all I can say. I don't know. I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know how to put that together. I didn't know anything about you or how this church will operate. I just knew Hampton was on my mind. I told my wife about it. And she said, you know, good, that's nice. And I'm praying about it. I didn't know I'd be here pastoring several years later. You know, here history was 3 years later. But brothers and sisters, hear me. This causes us to be careful because not all impulses are of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see how fragile this is? Man, talking about the will of God is one of the biggest mind battles for believers. It is. I'm taught the unique will of God. If it's in that word, quit arguing about it and do it. But when it's the unique will of God, sudden impulses to do something ridiculous can also be from the devil. You ever heard somebody getting out the will of God? Oh, yes. I've heard of people having nervous breakdowns and preachers having nervous breakdowns for doing so. The Holy Spirit will never, in any case, I'll reiterate this to you, will never lead us contrary to the teaching of the Bible. We must distinguish the voice of the Holy Ghost and we in between that of the enemy. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, what I have experienced in this is that there is an increasing pressure. It produces in our spirits a growing peace about it in our minds. As we pray over the matter, you have peace about it, even if it's something that one of those riskiest things you've ever done. All you know is this: everything's going to be alright. It doesn't mean you never have a mind battle, but you know it's God. And that increasing spiritual pressure inside of your life, all you know, you're smiling and walking and doing the will of God, even if it does not make sense to you rationally. Amen. You ever heard of God asking people to do something that makes no sense? Well, you haven't read the Bible, have you? Amen. A lot of things didn't make sense. What the children of Israel just kept marching around Jericho for the fun of it. You got to know the voice of God. Amen. What if David went out to that battlefield and didn't know if it was the will of God or not? You must do His will. On some occasions, the Spirit may lead us to do something our mind cannot fully understand. Amen. And then there's other times it makes a lot of sense. I used to be underneath this insinuation, and it was the wrong mentality. You know, if it was something I wanted, it couldn't be right, you know. I was so used to saying, look, man, if it's a good thing, shouldn't we be sacrificing and giving up things? Amen. And that's the way I felt about it. I felt like that's too mature. I can't have really what I want, man. That'd just be too easy. But there is times that God will say, yes, you can have that good thing. But there's also times God will tell you, no, you can't have that good thing. Oh, I'm going to move forward here. I don't want to bore you at all. I'm trying to move forward with God's help. There was one man one time. He was a preacher. I'm trying to remember his name. But anyhow, he was in London one time. And the Lord began to... He was an American preacher. Excuse me. Stephen Grillett is his name. He was once led by the Spirit to a certain logging camp, which he found deserted. And the Lord dealt with his heart. I want you to preach to this empty room. He got up there and preached. He said he didn't see nothing happen. Thought he missed it. And he said, well, I ain't going to tell anybody about this, really. I'm just going to keep on going. Anybody ever been there before? I remember one time, and I shared this once again with the experience. One night I felt led to go to a church I was going to preach. I said, I know I'm going to preach here tonight. But I didn't want to tell my wife that the Lord told me I was going to preach, because if I didn't preach, I feel like I was crazy. And I remember, we'd already been working all week and we'd been going to church a lot already. I said, sweetie, we need to go to church tonight. She said, I'll be honest with you, I'm a little tired. I said, me too. You know, I worked late that day. It was another church in the area. I said, but I really feel we should go. She said, I'm really tired. And finally, I remember saying, I've got to go because I'm preaching. She said, has he asked you? No. I remember walking through that door. I said, man, he better ask me to preach. I said, oh, I'm going to take over this service and say he won't obey God. I remember walking through the door. It won't 2 minutes. Brother Carol Bunch came up to me and said, can you please preach tonight? I feel led to ask you. God can lead you. I feel like those little things help you in bigger things. Amen. I believe he teaches us to be sensitive. This man preached in this empty room there, in that empty dining hall. Many years later, a man approached him in London, reminding him of the incident. He said, look, I was the cook at that camp and had been the only man there that day. He had hidden outside the window and listened to the sermon and got saved. Being sensitive to the voice of God. Realizing the importance of the Spirit. I'm going to share this with you and we're going to close right here. I won't be much longer. Anybody ever heard of Watchman Nee?
before? He's a Christian author, was a prisoner in China, wrote a lot of his literature. Now, I can't say I agree with everything with him, but I'll tell you this, that man had something going on up there. God had anointed his mind. I often brag on a book he wrote called The Spiritual Man. It is maybe six or 700 pages about the spiritual man. About 200 pages of it. You say, what else can you learn about humanity? And all of a sudden, he's poured into you again. I got to page like 400. I said, I can't take no more. I mean, it was just so much information. He said this, and I'm going to read it to you because you can't say it no better or reword it any better. He said, two principles of conduct is this, searching for the will of God. It is a most amazing thing that the objective of so many Christians is only conformity to an external standard through what God has given us by the new birth. It's not a lot of new rules. He was saying, look, that's all some people care about, is external standard. You ever met anybody like that? They think that's it. I've heard preachers say, if you get them to dress the part, put them in the choir. Man, we've had people that sang and preached, and you don't even know if they're born again. But they dressed the part, or they had the external standard. He goes on to say this. He said that when you get born again, it's not a lot of new rules or regulations to which we are required to conform. He has not brought us to a new Sinai and given us a new set of commandments with a bunch new of thou shalt and thou shalt not. As a Christian, you now possess the life of Jesus Christ. And it is the reactions of His life that you now can be considered as His leading. As the Lord moves in you, you begin to move. Amen. As he goes on to begin to talk, he says, if when you contemplate any move, there should be a rise of life within you to make that move. If there is a positive response from the inner life, if there is anointing from within, then you can confidently pursue the proposed course. The inner life has indicated that. But if when you contemplate a certain move and the inner life begins to languish, then you may know the move that you're contemplating should be avoided, however commendable it may seem. What he's saying is this. You've got to do more than conform to something outward. What's going on the inside? Amen. That inner witness is that important. You hear me? I won't be much longer. I know this is a lot to take in. But do you realize sometimes that Christians operate like this? Well, it's not wrong. It's not a sin. But there's sometimes that God will take you to something that's not wrong and not a sin and direct you. And say, look, no. And there's other times he'll say, yes, but you must be sensitive to the Spirit. Amen. You've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I like what one writer said one time. He said, it's true that Jesus said his sheep know his voice, but his lambs need to learn it. Amen. His lambs need to learn it. Do you want to do the will of God? I believe that. I honestly am 100% believe everybody in this room really wants to do the will of God. But don't think it's just going to happen. Amen. Wouldn't it be something if me as a pastor, I would say, the will of God will get done in Abundant Life Tabernacle. It's just going to happen. I ain't got to pray. I ain't got to seek the Lord. I ain't going to fast. It's just going to happen. No. I realize this, that we've got to pursue and listen to God. I know that. And let Him guide and direct us into the fullness of His Spirit. Stand to your feet all over this church. Amen. As we move forward here, and what I'm going to do today, we're not going to have really an altar call, so to say. But I just tonight wanted to challenge you that we need to do His will. Amen. As I've told you before, there's times I look back and life seemed a lot simpler at one time. I will be honest with you. You know, I often prayed before and said, Lord, I remember those days of less responsibility. I remember those days where I could go up to my bedroom at my mom and daddy's house. I'd get down on my hands and knees and pray. And a few hours would go by and all you know is you've been in His presence. I remember those days. But you know, there's been an increased responsibility in my life. I now have a family. I now am a pastor of a church. And I feel the weight of that. And I realize, Lord, I need Your Spirit to help me. It wasn't that it quit back then. I need His direction just as much now as I do ever. But so do you. Sometimes, man, we put that right on the preacher. And look, it's here. I promise. You ain't going to put it on me. It's here. And I ain't trying to put it on you. It's there. You must do the will of God. Now, I often say this, and I tell young ministers this because it's important. Sometimes we allow God's grace in every area of our life but God's will. His grace is also there to help us do His will. Amen? Does that mean that Derek Jones has got it right every time? I wish. Have I gotten it wrong a few times? There's been a few times I sat there and said, you know what? I should have took a left. But I didn't look at God and say, you are a horrible shepherd. And you did not tell me. I look back and say, I was just so busy. I remember one time, and I'll say this, and we're just going to close in prayer. I remember one time I went to more revivals. I traveled. I preached. I wore myself out. And I remember getting down to pray. And even though I was going to some good meetings and preaching some good meetings, I got down to pray. And the Lord said something like this to my heart. You need to lessen your circle. He said, you're doing too much. He said, you're going too much. He said, I need you to spend time with me. We live in a world where you can be involved in everything. Man, there's more programs to sign up for around here. You could go to the local YMCA and keep yourself busy for the next 10 years. I mean, they got kickboxing. I remember the rec center back home there. I mean, ping pong tournaments, basketball tournaments. I mean, something where I forgot, Zumba or something like that. I don't agree with it. I don't know anything about it, but they want you to join that, and they want you to do this, and they want you, you can go to Curves, and you can go all these other places and join. It'll keep you busy. But I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost wants to do a lot of times. He wants you to hollow out some time and say, how much spiritual productivity, what can you do with that? Are you going to grow in the Lord with that? And He wants you to spend time with Him. I'm going to share this. We'll go pray. David Wilkerson said this one time, and it hit me right in the heart. He said one time he was praying. He said he prayed, I think it was an hour of prayer. He said he looked down at his watch. He said the hour was up. He said he stood up to leave the room. He said the Holy Ghost whispered to his spirit. He said, please don't leave. And he thought to himself, he said, Lord, he said, I've been praying. He said, don't leave. And he said, at that time, he took that watch off his wrist, put it into his pocket, got back down to pray, and said, God, whatever you want to tell me, tell me. I'm not going to make this a ritual. I'm not going through the motions. Forgive me for putting you on a time limit and trying to squeeze you in between this and that. Talk to me. Do you know if you would pray like that more often, God would really talk to you? Come on. We get down to pray, oh Lord, speak to my heart. I've got to get milk. I've got to go to Food Line. Man, Lord, I've got to get here on this time. And Jesus, talk to me, Lord. Oh, I'm tired. It was a tough day, Lord. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Come on. I'm telling you, some of the best times in your life is when you get down and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here until you talk to me. I can't make another move. I don't want to get out your will. I don't want to get lukewarm. I don't want to lose my children. God, speak to me. Speak to me. That's what we've got to do. Amen. I want you to ask God to help you individually as we pray. And I know you've been standing for a moment. Now I've got four closings. I'm sorry. We're going to close. Let's ask God to help us be sensitive. Can we do that? I wish there was a formula I could give you, point A, point B, point C, the will of God for your life. But you've got to let the Holy Ghost lead you. And pray for me. Pray for me that I be what God wants me to be. Because there's times I know, Lord, I could do more. I could do more. And that's not for me to condemn and to get in the mully grubs. It's for me to say this, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Amen. Let's pray. The Heavenly Fathers will come to you in prayer. I feel like I've delivered your heart to this congregation tonight. Lord, though we be few in number. Lord, I want to do your will. God, I want to do your will. God, I would that you refresh that in my heart. Please, Lord. And every heart that is in this room, God. Maybe at one time somebody that was here tonight used to be a lot more sensitive to your voice. But they found themselves over time not falling out of love with you so much, but God, just not being as quick to respond, as quick to pray, as quick to yield. I would, therefore, everybody in this room right now, Lord, Lord, that you continue to touch them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, strengthen them. Those that have the Holy Ghost, Lord, continue to lead them. And God, not only to be filled, God, but once we're filled, to do something for you, dear Jesus. Not just to say we have something. Lord, how pitiful is that? But God, I would that you lead and guide me as a pastor. I need you, Lord. Help this church to grow. Help this church to grow, Lord Jesus. Deal with hearts, God. Some of those newer families that are coming, strengthen them. Deal with them, Lord Jesus. Lord, help those that are in this church, Holy Ghost. Lord, every heart, God, let them realize, Lord, give them guidance, Lord. I know in a world of changes, and it seems like things are changing all the time, Holy Ghost, that we need your guidance, Lord. We need to be sensitive to your voice. Lord, we can't always say, Lord, that it was once this way and always will be this way. No, we got to know what the Spirit's wanting to do right now, at this moment. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. God, I would that you would renew that in every heart that is here. Strengthen this congregation. And help us to do your will. Help us to do your will. In the name of Jesus, I command it over us. I plead it over us. I know it's the truth. I know it's the will of God that we do these things. And God, but I need you to help me. I need you to help them to do your will. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Did you mean that from your heart? That'll show up. Look, what I'm saying, preaching like this, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I do. Because I know it's the mind of the Spirit that you'd hear that. That you can't just do what you want to do. I can't just do what I want to do. I've got to know the mind of Christ. Amen. Pray and let God lead you. Amen. I do appreciate you being here. God's been so faithful to us. Amen. I do love and appreciate you. Let your neighbor know you appreciate him. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. God bless you.